This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. As I always say, as I love interviewing on this show because I get to speak with the most amazing people on the planet. Tonight, I'm doing a follow-up interview with someone that we talked to a few months ago. His name is Mark Scotch, and he's someone that's very much involved with the Oregon Trail. He is the man that I interviewed a few months ago who actually donated a kidney to someone that he had met in a bar. And I'm still flabbergasted by this. Most recently, Mark was awarded the Humanitarian Award, the Best of Humankind Award in his home state of Wisconsin. And we're going to talk to him about this because he is just doing more and more great things. So welcome back to the show, Mark.
Hi, Toni.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So tell me how this award came about.
Well, on the first ride, National Kidney Donation Organization was helping me, and one of their people, Lisa Emmett, who had advocated for her husband to get a kidney. And through that work she did, she worked with USA Today, Humankind, and they did a video on her and her efforts to find her husband a kidney. This was, 3, 4, 5 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the same young lady, Danielle Barker, was still working for USA Today, Humankind. And Lisa put her in touch with me on the first ride. So we started documenting my first ride from Wisconsin down to Louisiana and put out a short video on it when I rolled into Louisiana to meet Hugh, who was my voucher recipient, which means basically he didn't get my kidney, but I donated to someone else. And my kidney went to New York, and Hugh got a kidney, got the voucher, and then ended up getting a kidney from somebody in Southern California. But anyway, we put together this video from USA Today Humankind. And then this year, I think, was their first year they decided to do the Best of Humankind. So they had like 11 different categories, and I was nominated for one of the categories. And it was a thing for you could vote for a month, and then the winner, whoever got the most votes, won. And so I won in the area called Triumph of the Year, and it was one of 11 categories.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really, really great. Now, when we spoke the first time, I'm just going to refresh the audience and also some people that did not hear our first interview. What I've learned from you and also from our mutual friend, Lisa Thompson, is it's not always that you're looking to give up a kidney necessarily. If you have healthy kidneys, you can spare one because in case, I'm sure, well, some people don't know this, if you have two of them, you really don't have to worry about it if you're a healthy person relatively and you give up one, there's another one that takes over. We don't need to, but we have to. But I've learned from Lisa and also from you that it's not so much for people listening that we're asking you to like give up a kidney. It's to generate the awareness. If you talk about kidney donation, organ donation, and organ recipients, it generates awareness that actually helps the cause in itself. That's what I learned from Lisa, just to talk about it, because even on this show, we're talking about it. There's probably someone out there in the 14 million devices that this particular show goes to. There's probably someone out there that has, the inclination to want to do something like this. I would love for you to share with the audience, Mark, how it feels to donate a kidney. How did it make you feel overall?
Well, it's kind of strange. They've done some research lately, in the last number of years, a woman named Abigail Marsh. And what they're finding out is that people that do altruistic things, not just donate kidneys, but just generally help people. They just have something in their brain. They have a portion of their brain called the amygdala that is larger than in other people. And they found the opposite. If it's smaller than average, people are psychopaths.
Whoa. But,
yeah. So they've actually found an actual relationship to this. So, you know, what we're finding out, and this is recent, this is the last few years, that there is, you know, in our country, what, 325 million people, there's a certain amount of people out there that are going to donate a kidney, or they're going to do something to help somebody. It's just in their nature. And so what we're trying to do with the kidney thing and kidney awareness is to just tell our story, and it's going to connect with somebody. And I think the best thing is, like Lisa, who is recipient, if they tell their story, because that's what happened to me. I was just going along my merry way in my life, never thought about donating a kidney, never even considered it. And yeah, you know, I consider myself a decent guy, but I'm not, you know, I'm just average. But when I met this guy named Hugh Smith down in Louisiana, we just started talking. He was just so full of life, and we had such a great time chatting for an hour, just a stranger. And when he got up to leave and said he, you know, basically was going to go home and go on dialysis and that he needed a kidney, my sister-in-law had donated 14 years ago, so I knew you could donate a kidney, but I had never asked her one question about her donation. Never, not once. But when Hugh said that, it's like, wow, I'll just give you one of mine, because I knew that I could because she donated. And it's interesting that I didn't really feel any different before or after I said that. And I was pretty cavalier about the whole thing because I thought, well, you know, I was 65 years old and I thought, well, if I have a kidney in me that's still good enough to help somebody, you know, why not? And Hugh was 56 at the time. And you're right. If you're healthy enough to pass the evaluation, they're very, very particular about living donors. You have to be almost in perfect health. If you're healthy enough to pass the evaluation, you're going to be healthy enough afterwards. You can live on one kidney. And if there's anything that would flag, they will not accept, will not go through with it and go through with a living donation if the person isn't in really good health. So I was still pretty cavalier about the whole thing. I did tell Hugh one time, he was calling me up one time and pretty excited. And I had just read that one out of 750 people are born with one kidney.
Wow.
That's a pretty low number if you think about
it. Yes. Yeah. 750 people.
And I've heard many stories now in the last year and a half or year that I've been doing this. There are many people out there with one kidney that don't know it and they're living a normal life. So to try to get to your answer, you know, how did I feel before and after? I really didn't feel any different. As a matter of fact, I was kind of like telling Hugh, you know, this is no big deal, but it is to him, and it was to him. And what got me, what really connected with me was when, I don't know, after a few weeks, we'd been talking every day or every other day, and then he put his mom on the phone. And Hugh was living with his parents, which isn't unusual because people that are on dialysis every day, Hugh was doing home dialysis, which means it's called peritoneal. So he was on it every day from 8:30 at night till 6:30 in the morning. Some people go every third day to a dialysis center, and that's called hematineal, I think. But he was going every day, and he put his mom on the phone, and something clicked when talking with Hugh's mom, Pam, because suddenly I put myself in her place, and we have three grown sons, and I thought to myself, what if this was one of my sons going through this? And that's when that's kind of a milestone in me that turned me into more of a, I need to take this a little more seriously. It is a big deal. And that actually deepened my commitment to go out and tell my story and try to find more of these people out there that are just waiting to do something nice for somebody.
I think it's interesting that you say that there's a trait. It's almost like the philanthropic trait. So I'm just making that up, but it sounds like people that have this philanthropic way about them, this giving way about them, are more likely to want to do something like what you've done. And what I find particularly remarkable is you not only gave your kidney up to a stranger, basically, you also made it your mission to generate awareness to other people like myself and my audience by riding your bicycle cross country. I mean, it's not a motorcycle. You're pedaling cross country, like tens of thousands of miles. also the fact that you are a senior citizen doing this. I just want the audience to hear this because I'm still amazed. You deserve the award.
Well, thank you. I've started riding bicycle about the time I was 40, 45. I was starting to get, my kids were getting older and I wanted to do something. I had time and I wanted to improve my health. So I started doing a lot of things. And one of them was bicycle, mountain biking in particular. I just got a really lot of joy out of mountain biking. And so I was doing a lot of biking anyway. So it was really natural to, well, how it came about was real quickly, you know, I'm in Wisconsin, Hughes in Louisiana. I thought I was going to have to go to Shreveport, 1,500 miles away from my house to donate. And it was going to take multiple trips. You have to go down and get evaluated. You have to get down and get tested. You got, you know, pre-op, you got surgery. And so I told my wife, I said, well, on one of these trips, I'm going to ride my bike on some of these, you know, trips. I'll just, you know, just ride for a few days at a time. And I do that all the time anyway. When I read that 13 people die every day in this country waiting for a kidney transplant, I just turned to my wife and said, I'm just going to ride the whole thing and make it into an awareness ride. And, you know, I don't even think she looked up because she knows I do these kind of things on a bike. So it was no big deal.
So she's used to the way you are.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we're retired. I have the time. I like to ride bike. This is a fantastic cause. I don't know of anything else that I've ever done in my life that has this bang for the buck, this risk, you know, this risk reward. I mean, you can literally save somebody's life, and 6 weeks later, you're back to doing whatever you were doing. It's just amazing.
You felt very confident that your body could handle it.
I had a lot of confidence in the medical professionals, the doctors. They've been doing kidney transplant for decades, basically. I hate to use the word routine, but I wasn't nervous about that end of it. I felt comfortable. And I talked to a number of people beforehand. I tried to do my homework, talked to a number of people. You know, my sister-in-law had donated 14 years earlier, and I've literally seen her many, many times every year, you know, all the time, basically. And she never suffered any ill effects. And so that was positive. You know, everybody's different. There are things that happen, but the odds of it are very rare. And I just felt the risk was worth it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it sounds like the odds are as rare as someone, but maybe not as rare as you might. Well, whatever. All I know is you tell me that 750 or what was the percentage used? 1 out of 750 people have one kidney.
Are born with one kidney.
Are born with one kidney.
Most of them don't know it, and how they find out. I was literally talking to a person today in Wisconsin. I'm looking at doing some rides locally here and doing some things in Wisconsin. And he's from Nebraska. He'd come up to Wisconsin a few years ago. He's working up here now. His wife needed a kidney, and her sister-in-law was going to donate for her. This was like 15, 20 years ago. It was quite a while ago. But the sister-in-law went in to get evaluated, and she was told she can't do it. She cannot do it. And I think she had two kids and she was in her 30s.
Wow, yeah.
And she said, why not? I'm in good health. The doctor said, well, you only have one kidney.
Oh, that's the reason. She must have been in shock.
Yeah, she said, how can I have two kids and no one's ever told me I only have one kidney. How can that happen? Well, your body on one kidney can do the work it needs to be done, and it never gets flagged.
I'm wondering though, wouldn't a doctor, I don't know, it's a question. Would a doctor not notice that a woman's having a baby? Okay. There's a lot of stuff going down down in that area. They wouldn't even mention it to her that she had one kidney, or maybe they thought she already knew. That's crazy.
Well, it's just a story that a guy told me today. I mean, I've talked to a few different groups of people. My wife and I have done some local talking to local groups. And I've had two different people come up to me and tell me that they were, well, actually one was Wisconsin and one was on my trip just recently. I rode from Martha's Vineyard back to Wisconsin in September and October. And that's when we talked. I think I was in North Kingston, New York. We had a little event there. And one of the people that was part of the group told me afterwards that he had just found out. He went to the doctor and he had just found out. I think he was in his late 30s, early 40s, that he just found out. The doctor told me he had one kidney.
Wow. I wonder how many people have three.
I don't know. I haven't heard that.
I don't know. Maybe that's why my back hurt. Maybe I have three. My back hurts. But I think that is just astonishing that people could not know that. How could you not know?
Well, if there's no reason to look into it, probably. I mean, yeah. I've got one kidney and all my blood work and everything is normal. So why would they go any further on a healthy person, I guess? I don't know. I just know that it happens. And if you Google it right now, 1 out of 750 people are born with one kidney.
Wow, it's amazing. You know, but you're a very healthy person, obviously. You're biking thousands of miles. And you're 65, I think, if I recall, right?
Yep, I'll be 66 in about 4 days.
Well, oh, wow, a pair of sixes. Our birthdays are very close. I should celebrate with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of those little Christmas time babies. I'm just still astonished by the fact that you're riding thousands of miles. You're 65. You donated a kidney because of a conversation that you had with a man in a bar. So how has your worldwide tour of interviews been? I know people are interviewing you all over the place. I think I was one of the first, I just have to say.
And the whole purpose of this is to try to get media attention. We use the bike as kind of a flare to say, hey, you know, it gets people curious. And of course, we try to make it about, you know, the fact that there's an urgent, dire need. People are dying. So I think on my ride from Wisconsin to Louisiana, we had like 30 to 35 different TV, radio,
nice.
Newspaper events. And then coming back from Martha's Vineyard, we had well over 70, close to 80. And it's been going on since.
That's so excellent. And I think it's something that deserves a lot of attention. I mean, you're obviously keeping in shape. And I think that organ donation has come to become very much of a conversation. Like, it's almost like a common conversation at this point. I mean, I've heard people of donating everything from kidneys to the skin on their, well, I don't know if when they donate the skin, usually after death, I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's the way that goes. We'll skip that. That's a different interview. We'll do that in the afterlife. I don't know. But I think it's really fascinating. Can I just ask you, do you have children?
We have three boys, mm-hmm. and we have three grandchildren. And if you listen to the Humankind video that they did of me, mm-hmm. In the beginning, I didn't talk too much about it. Probably when I talked to you the first time, I didn't mention it because I just wasn't talking too much. But one of the things that prompted me to donate to Hugh and to instantly say that I would give him a kidney was over 40 years ago, my wife and I, our first baby, our first son, was 15 months old, and he was on life support. He had died, and was on life support, and we never thought of it, and the hospital didn't mention it. We were in Denver and didn't donate his organs. And so for the last 40-some years, whenever it's come up in conversation, for whatever reason, my wife always felt bad that we never did that, because we could have helped some other family. You know, we could help some other, you know, baby probably. And so that was always on my mind in a sense, I guess, or subconsciously, yeah. Because when Hugh said that, it was almost like a do-over. It's like, yeah, okay, now I can do it while I'm alive now.
There's your chance. And I think that if someone doesn't ask you, because I just know that very often if someone in your family or spouse or child passes away, at least from my experiences, organ people, like eye donations came to me when my husband died, because he was an optician and he worked with ophthalmologists and he was really dedicated to helping people see. The eye bank approached me when they found out that he died. I don't know how they found out that he died, but they found out that he died and they asked me if I'd be willing to donate his cornea. Both of them, you know, they asked me if I would do that. It was a difficult choice because I actually had to ask his mother, because he was Jewish and I didn't know if it was appropriate or if it was within the protocol within that religion. But people approach you and ask you, you know, when they find out who the person was, what they died of, and who the person was. He didn't die from anything with his eyes. So they asked me that, and his eyes were perfect. And he's still helping people see. And the way it was approached is that if you donate his eyes, he'll be able to help 5 people see. That's all I had to hear. I'm wondering, like, what kind of approach this man in the bar gave to you, but you actually explained it. Now you're talking about a gene, like a trait of people that want to be generous as you are. So the reason I ask you that is I wasn't pushing on what happened to your son. I'm really sorry about that. It's so sad. But I'm wondering if your children have the same philanthropic streak that you do.
Well, I don't know if it's hereditary or not. It's a part of your brain that's larger. It's called the amygdala. Mm-hmm. And if you Google a man named Ned Brooks did a TED talk. He started the NKDO, National Kidney Donation Organization, which I'm a part of. They've helped me with my rides. So Ned Brooks did a TED talk, and he talks about it. And also Abigail Marsh, she's been doing quite a bit of studying on it over the years. And they talk about, you know, the part of the brain that's just a little bit different. So that's all I know about it. I mean, I'm not a doctor at all. You know, I don't profess to be.
But it's just a little trivia.
Yeah. And Hugh didn't even ask me. We were sitting at the bar chatting away, and he just said he had to go. He got up, so I got to go home. And it was, you know, we were maybe there an hour and a half, and it was like 6 o'clock or something. I can't remember. It wasn't that late at night or anything. It was late afternoon, early evening when we met, and I was kind of giving him a hard time about leaving, actually. He said, no, I got to go. And I said, okay, if you got to go, go, you know, whatever. You know, I was kind of playing, you know, we were just playing around. My wife was there. We were laughing, having a good time. And he said, no, I got to go home and go on dialysis. He said, I've got my kidneys failed. I'm on stage 4 renal failure. I'm on dialysis every night. He said, I'm looking for a kidney. And I said, heck, I'll give you one of mine then.
Well, you sure did. And he's a very lucky man. He's a very lucky man. So what's going on in the Oregon Trail these days? Like, how are things going with the Oregon Trail?
Well, I did the first ride to Louisiana, second ride Martha's Vineyard back. So between those two rides, about 3,100 miles, well over 100 different media events. We've talked to a lot of people. We meet a lot of people on the trail. And what we're going to do now is two events in Wisconsin and Minnesota, one in Wisconsin, one in Minnesota. And before I donated a kidney, I used to do these races in the middle of the winter. And one is called Tuscobia 160. It's a 160-mile race, and it's in the middle of the winter. And you can do it on a bicycle, on cross-country skis, or you can do it on foot. And it follows an old railroad grade. In the summertime, it's like a bike path, you know, or a four-wheeler trail. So I'm going to do that on New Year's Day. It's going to be 160 miles on a bicycle and middle of the winter. And in a month after that, I'm going to go up to Minnesota and do another race that's very similar. It's called the Arrowhead 135. And people can Google these and learn about them. There's probably, you know, there's very few people that do these things.
I would say so. You know, I mean, riding your bike in the wintertime, what's that like? Like, what if it's snowing? What kind of bike are you riding?
Well, it's called a fat bike, and my tires are like 5 inches wide. And we can't really float on the snow, but we can get through the snow pretty good.
Oh.
It's a special bike. Yeah, they work great in the sand too, by the way. You know, I ride it on the beach all the time. You can float kind of like. Two years ago before the last race we had, every race last winter got canceled because of COVID. But 2 years ago, I did this 160 and I cross-country skied it. So I cross-country skied 160 miles and you know, only two people even entered the race. That's how few people do this.
That's not very many people. So it must be some kind of a trait when it comes to I don't know, riding a bicycle in the snow or whatever. But okay, because it's not easy. It's difficult. It's physically difficult. Because you're challenging your body. That's what I'm getting at. And I want the audience to know this, that you're challenging your body just in trying to promote the idea of organ donation.
Right. I want to do these races because I did them on two kidney. Now I want to do them and show that you can go back and I'm going to do them on one kidney. And this is pretty extreme. So if people that are normal, let's say, that don't do these kind of things, they should feel comfortable that if they're healthy enough to donate, they're going to be fine afterwards. You know, odds are very high. There's going to be no issues. So I'm just trying to say, hey, if I can demonstrate that I can do this on one kidney, I'm hoping people will take notice and maybe that'll help in their decision.
Well, I think it's amazing because what you're doing by just being so generous of spirit and of body, you're changing someone's life forever just by this simple act and one conversation. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact, because I know Lisa talked to me about this very much. So she says, it's not like I'm going to go up to you and say, hey, can I have your kidney? It's not like that. That's in her words. She says, no, it's about, you know, you can imagine, right? You can imagine her saying it. It's more about getting into a conversation about it. And what it does is it leads to other things. Now, I haven't donated a kidney, but I've been so moved by talking to Lisa about it that I invited you to come on the show because I wanted to tell the whole world about it. Because I have that mic piece that people will hear me. So talk a little bit about how it's not that you're asking them, okay, give a kidney too, about how what you're doing has generated enough awareness that people are kind of jumping on the bandwagon from what I hear.
Well, it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier. There is an urgent and dire need. I mean, 13 people are dying every day. And of course, I did not know that when Hugh told me he needed a kidney. I just looked at one person, you know, looked them right in the face and said, I can give you one of mine, because I knew I could live on one kidney, or I felt I could because of my sister-in-law's experience. So I don't really know what – I think if Hugh would have been a real negative person, I mean, he was so full of life and he's so positive and – he wasn't asking. He was just telling me like a friend would tell me, like, hey, I found out today I need a kidney. Well, you know, are you going to help? I can't really call Hugh a friend at that time. I just had known him for an hour.
Right.
But I knew him enough that I felt very comfortable doing that for him. And some people do this not even knowing where their kidney's going. They're just strictly doing it altruistic. Matter of fact, a lot of people don't even want to know where their kidney is going. They just want to donate it. And no one ever knows.
Because it's that selfless.
Yeah.
That selfless that they're not looking for any particular recognition for it. And that's highly commendable. Because you know how it is. A lot of times you do something extraordinarily good. Most people, I imagine, I don't know for fact, we want everybody to know about the good thing that they did. But then there are those of us that really want to keep it really quiet. You know, you did it, it's done. The person you did it for is happy. And that should be enough. And that's what makes you so extraordinary, Mark. You just jump on a bike and ride a couple thousand miles. I'm just amazed by it. And I guess I'm sort of pondering what you were saying about that there's a, how you were explaining that there's a trait with people that like to do these good things for people. I think giving a piece of your body is really extraordinary, and I really commend you. I can't say enough good things. You know, I don't know what else to say, except if I had $1 million, they wrote a song, I would give it to you.
Well, and like I said earlier, I mean, I felt, I guess, blessed, or I felt good that not only I could help Hugh, but I felt good that I was still healthy enough to do that. When I decided to donate a kidney, I had to get evaluated, and my wife went with me on my evaluation. And at the end of the day, it takes a whole day to get evaluated. They stress tests, EKGs, psychological examination. They want to know, kind of want to know what your motivation is. At the end of the day, my wife decided she was going to become a living donor as well.
Wow.
She just said, I don't know of any reason why I shouldn't be doing this too. But what I'm leading up to is that, you know, I felt so relieved when they told me that I was healthy enough, because about that time, I realized how critical it was to Hugh. With 13 people dying every day, it's obvious that there aren't enough kidneys. People are dying. And even on dialysis, the machine just doesn't do quite as good as a kidney would do, a real kidney. So a lot of these people, their life is just, you know, it's very tough.
Yeah.
It's very, very tough. And I just didn't want to let Hugh down at that point in time. It's like, but I had no control over it. I mean, at that point in time, you know, all we can do is consider it. And that's what I tell people right now. People say, oh, you know, do you ask people to become donors? I said, no, I don't ask that question. Just like Lisa doesn't ask people for a kidney. I've never asked people to become a living donor. I say, if you're interested, if you're curious, learn more. The first step is to get evaluated. And the first step is to find out if you can donate. And then after that, then you can make a decision if you want to move forward or if you do, when. And to do that, I direct people to nkdo.org, nationalkidneydonation.org. And Lisa's part of that. I'm part of that. And we're people that have donated kidneys where we help individuals walk through this because we've done it already. We've just helped guide them. You know, I remember going down the hall in the hospital, going down from my room to the operating room, and the nurse that was pushing the gurney, you know, as I'm going down there to surgery, he looks down and he says, "Look, are you sure you want to do this?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, you don't have to. You can stop. You can say no right now." And we'll just say that we found out that there was something physical wrong that you couldn't do it. You know, basically the guy said, "We'll lie for you if you don't want to do it." Because right. They really, really don't want people to go through with this if they're not 100% sure.
Yeah, there's something about giving a body part.
Yep. And I don't know how to word it, but people who go in for the wrong reason typically don't go through with it. I mean, it's just something that you're talking about shouting it from the rooftop. Well, I'm shouting it from the rooftop, but only because I'm trying to save more lives.
Right.
And so there is an urgent need, and there's a ton of people out there. We did the math. There's a number of us have talked about this internally. Right now, I think there's about 90-some thousand people on the wait list waiting for a kidney right now.
Wow.
And I think 24,000 transplants are done a year, give or take. Let's just call it 25,000. So if we could fill one football stadium one time, if we could fill one stadium one time in a year, and everybody in that stadium would donate a kidney, nobody would die. The 13 people wouldn't be dying. Matter of fact, after a year or two, there wouldn't be a wait list.
That would be a beautiful thing. It really would.
Think about how many football stadiums we fill every day or every weekend in college football, you know, pros. So, I mean, the people are out there. It's just, they just have to be educated. And for me, I think a lot was timing. It's a lot of timing too.
Yes, timing's everything in life. I know that's what you learn. I know that that's what one learns as we get more mature, that timing is everything in life, because if not for the timing, whatever just happened wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the timing. Yeah, ponder that for a minute. But I really want to thank you so much, Mark, for being so generous with your body, so generous of spirit. And I hope that people are listening to this. My donation to the NKDO is to just make sure that people hear this interview. And I'm not ready to give a kidney. I don't know if I would be qualified. I'm pretty healthy, but you know, you do what you can, because you might not be in a position to actually give a kidney, but you can explain it to other people. You can explain to other people how important it is.
That's so critical too, being an advocate. That's very true.
Yes, definitely. And I think that I believe that there's someone listening to this right now that will step up and do just that. I really do. I think there are people out there that are saying, what the heck? I can spare a kidney. I'm not going to ask you to give a lung, but you can give a kidney for now. But
yeah, like I said, people that are curious, just learn some more. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Just learn some more. And if anybody decides not to donate, at least they'll learn more. And then if they get in conversation with somebody over Christmas or New Year's or whenever, they can give them, talk about this voucher program. Just learn about the voucher program.
Yeah, learn about the voucher program through NKDO?
It's through the National Kidney Registry, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nkr.org is another site. They too, both sites work together very close, nkr.org and nkdo.org.
So please, people, don't be afraid to talk about it. And it's amazing. The more you talk about it, the more awareness is generated. And what's next for you before we close out this interview? Because I have a feeling we're going to have another one. What's next for you, Mark?
After I do these two races, one in January, one in February, then I'm going to be heading out to California. And on March 21st, it looks like,
spring.
I'm going to be leaving San Diego on the bicycle. And gonna ride bike from San Diego to Los Angeles and Phoenix, Albuquerque, and then stop at a little town in Texas called Denver City. And that's gonna be around 1,300 miles. And we're gonna do the same thing. It's called the Oregon Trail 4.0. And this is going to be retracing Hugh's kidney. Hugh got a kidney from Southern California. So I'm going to do that this winter. And then next winter, I'll be starting up from Denver City, where we stop, and go to Dallas-Fort Worth, Austin, Houston, Galveston, and then stop at New Orleans. And that'll be from California to Louisiana. And that's to trace Hugh's kidney as part of our Hughes and I whole voucher thing.
Wow, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm really so impressed. And it is winter time. Speaking of winter, and you're going to be riding your bike in the winter time, I just want to wish you the happiest holidays going out. We're about to end this year, going into the next year. And Mark Scotch, I will speak to you again in the foreseeable.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, really. And I have other questions I want to ask you about your biking and what that's like for your head, you know, seriously. And we will talk again. And I thank you so much for everything that you do. Congratulations on your award. And just give the audience the best website that they could find out about all of this. Is it theoregontrail.org or is it one of the others?
Nope, theoregontrail.org will work. I'm working on a new website, but that'll take you to the old website. Mm-hmm. And theoregontrail.org, and that is actually, yeah, the simplest way. Just go on there. It actually take you to the NKDO site, but directly on that page, then you can click learn more about the Oregon Trail, and that's where it is. I also have a Facebook page called the Oregon Trail. Again, the Oregon Trail. And I'm putting up posts almost every day on that. There's new things going on steady. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what this actually looks like 6 months from now or 3 months from now. So I'm going to say goodnight to you right now, Mark, and I'm going to ask you if you'll come back for a follow-up. I'd like that a lot.
Oh, of course.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to say goodnight to the audience. Remember, audience, theoregontrail.org. Okay, it is a season of giving right now, but the season of giving in my world is every day of the year. So give of yourselves and don't be shy about discussing things like kidney donation with other people, because that's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. The more you talk about it, the more awareness you generate. And we will have Mark Scotch back on again soon. And I'll wish everybody a happy evening, good holidays, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.